Hello and welcome back to the PAL with Reb T, the Pirkei Avos Learning with Reb T, the show where we talk a Mishnah of Pirkei Avos per day with sagely commentary and practical advice to say. We hope you had a wonderful summer, a wonderful hiatus. We are now starting season 4 of the PAL, and the commentary we're using this year is Rabbeinu Yonah on Pirkei Avos. Of course, we take a little bit of hiatuses, however you want to say, throughout the year. But the plan is that we go from September to around April, May, June-ish, however long it takes us. Rabbeinu Yonah is a fascinating, fantastic commentator. He talks about the first 5 prakim. The last parak, there's an English explanation of the Mishnah, but not his actual commentary. So we'll talk about what comes to mind. But of course, the first 5 for sure have wonderful insights from Rabbeinu Yonah. We're going to talk a little bit about the foreword, a little bit about the intro, and then we'll see if we can actually begin the first Mishnah or just talk about the opening statement. So let's look a little bit about the foreword here in the Rabbeinu Yonah on Pirkei Avos. It's the Rodin edition, and it's a fantastic commentary and explanation. Thank you for joining us and staying with us. Hopefully you'll see us through the whole season from start to finish. So the foreword is from Rabbi Yaakov Haber. We're just looking at a little bit of what he talks about in the foreword. Rabbeinu Yonah Gerandi has amazing writings, and his writings are appropriate to every Jew in every time. It's quoted by Rav Chaim of Volozhin. Rabbeinu Yonah came from Girona in Catalonia. He lived in the 13th century, was a grandson and student of the Ramban, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, also known as Nachmanides, and he was the teacher of the Rashba, Rabbi Shlomo ben Aderet, in Spain in 1235 to 1310. It's mentioned several times in the commentary of the Tosfos on the Talmud, referred to there as Rabbeinu Yonah. And he did wonderful things. He traveled all over, had lectures and writings, and he was someone that wrote about onto the Rambam, sometimes quote-unquote attacking the Rambam, but then he did tshuva and wrote different things about it. And he wrote many treatises and composed something called the Shari Tzedek, but that a lot of the writings were lost, unfortunately. Rabbi Kiva Eger commented that he was particularly moved by the Musar works of Rabbeinu Yonah, because aside from being a great ethicist, Rabbeinu Yonah was one of the greatest Talmudic scholars of all time, as well as an authority on Jewish law. He viewed the ethical comments of Rabbeinu Yonah as legally binding in deciding matters of Jewish law. This volume, Rabbeinu Yonah and Pirkei Avos, presents an exact blend of his abilities. There are hundreds of commentaries of Pirkei Avos out there that use the text of Avos as a springboard for homiletic and ethical preaching, but Rabbeinu Yonah explains the simple meaning of each Mishnah, which is what we really try to do on the show. We try to bring home practical messages, practical ideas to what to live our life with moral, upstanding, ethical abilities in our daily life as much as possible that we could try to get from each Mishnah. It creates a new possibility for inspiration where one is struck by the beauty and awesome tirelessness of the words of the sages. So now we're going to look at the intro of Rabbeinu Yonah himself. The sages teach one who wishes to be a person of exceptional piety should be particularly careful and stringent with the words of the Avos. Others say he should be stringent with the laws of damages, like Bava Kama. Everyone, even those who do not strive for the level of exceptional piety, is obligated to observe the laws of damages. And the tractate of Avos is in the order of Nezikin, which is always interesting and peculiar to me personally, but other people already figured this out way long before me, which deals with damages. Why would Avos, which is about moral, ethical teachings, be in the order, of Nezikin, which is dealing with damages and loss and the like, laws of that things, because the way to achieve exceptional piety is through strict observance of both the ethical teachings of Avos and the laws of damages. Our sages also teach that to be a pious person, one should fulfill the laws of brachos also. And each order contains track dates that are conceptually related. That's why it didn't seem readily apparent why Avos was there. But in order to find that piety, one has to fine-tune the ideas of how to deal with people with damages and also spiritual damages by having our ethics, our moral upstanding, how to interact with people, how to deal with people, can make sure that we don't damage people to their core and don't hurt their feelings, don't hurt their way of life, and respect other people by dealing with people in the right way. Another reason Avos is in Zikin is that it consists of the words of the members of the Sanhedrin, the great court, who dealt with Nizikin. All the sages mentioned here until the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai were in the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the highest court in the time of the temple and in the era following the destruction. One of its main functions was to act as final authority in civil cases, including damages. The Tractate of Sanhedrin, which explains the workings of this body, is therefore also included in Nezikin. And we're actually going to start the first Mishnah, and I'm going to see if we could get through it in the time we have together. It might take us a little bit, but we can start at least the opening statement. Kol Yisrael yesh lem chelek l'olam haba. All of Israel has a portion in the world to come. Shenemar, as it says, ve'amech kulam sadikim. Your people are all righteous. The olam yirshu aretz, they shall forever inherit the land. Netzer mat'ai, a sapling of my planting, ma'ase yadai lehispa'er. My handiwork in which to glory. That comes from Yeshayahu. It teaches the idea that everyone can get olam haba. Everyone can get a share in the next world. Everyone is able to grasp the next world. We are all tzaddikim before Hashem. It brings to mind the idea that we should look at ourselves as really righteous individuals. We tend to look at other people as either all black or all white, not realizing that a lot of us have shades of gray. We tend to see people usually who do a bad thing as that is the core of their essence, unfortunately. We see people as black people, their whole neshama, their whole soul is black with some white splotches, some good things they did, but really it should be the opposite. Really, we should look people as the white soul that has some black splotches, that they do a couple of things wrong. Really, people are very good, but they might do some very bad things. People inherently are good people. Lahavda, lahavda, the quote from Anne Frank says, I believe in my heart that people are still truly fundamentally good, even though people might fight with each other, war with each other, do terrible things, but in their essence, they're very good people. If a person has a disorder, an illness, an addiction, an affliction, do we say that they're by nature very bad people? Do we think that they were very bad people? Or are they basically good people that have something they struggle with that they have? If someone's a gambleaholic, someone is an alcoholic, does that mean by nature they're a terrible person? Or they could be a really good dad, a really good husband, but they struggle with one very difficult area. Someone that has a mental illness, someone that has anxiety, someone that has OCD, does that mean they're a very bad person? Or they just struggle with something. Someone that's a shopaholic or someone that's a kleptoholic, whatever the word is for stealing, I forget. But we have to understand that people at their nature could be very good people, but can do very bad things. We tend to make the awful, awful mistake. It says in the video, it always stays in my mind in the back of the art scroll, how people tend to make the terrible mistake of hating people instead of hating deeds or hating habits or hating bad things that they do. Don't hate the person, hate the sin, or hate the action. But we make the terrible idea to equate an action with the person. I hate you, is what people say, instead of hating, I hate what you did. You could say that you hate what you did, but you don't hate the whole person. A person could be 99% amazing, but 1% bad. They could have an anger streak, or they could be pulled to different things that are really bad, or they could have even a drug problem or a drinking problem or any of these things. It doesn't mean that the person is defined as a bad person. It could be that they have a bad habit, a bad element that has to be worked on, and sometimes traits and things have to be worked on, a mental illness or affliction or a bad trait, a very angry person, a very skeptic person, a very grudgy person, or a very stingy person. Different elements have to be worked on. That's what Pirkei Avos does. It helps us work on all of our traits, and we all have the ability to get that portion. We just have to work on it and we just have to do our best to do as best as we can every day. So join us on this journey. We didn't look at Mishnah 1. We'll look at it next time. This has been the intro on Season 4 of the PAL with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.